Good morning to you. Merry Christmas to you. I want to suggest pause. I want to suggest make sure that we are in the moment. Things can get so fast. Things can get so quick. We can forget so quickly, you know. And so last week, I was speaking to you guys about, you know, God speaking to us in the quiet and how, man, we get so fast. We live our lives so fast that we don't hear God, you know, because we're not in the quiet. We're not listening to God in the quiet. We're so busy. So anyway, let's take a deep breath. You're here. And it's Christmas week. So everybody that's online today, glad to have you with us as well. Whether you're in person or online, and I haven't met you yet, my name is Robin Steele, and I'm the pastor here at Promised Land, the senior pastor here at Promised Land. And so I welcome everybody that's joining us via Facebook, YouTube. We're glad to have you wherever you're watching us from. And I want to say whenever. Some of you may be watching this on Tuesday or Wednesday or wherever. I'm believing that God is with you in that place where you are, at home, at work, on the road, wherever you are. So God bless you. If you have any questions or prayer needs along the way, you can comment, chat in the box there, and we have people there that would love to connect with you this week, and not just this week, but right now. If you have a need right now, we'd love to pray with you right now, answer any questions that you may have. So I had a funny thing happen to me this week. Marilyn Apple, one of our online team, sent me a story. Their fire alarm went off in their house. And, you know, fire alarm going off in your house, first of all, it's like, is this a fire or not? And after you realize it's not a fire, then you're like, that thing is so loud. How do we turn that thing off? And you have a broom. You're trying to turn the thing off. Finally, she got it off, and she had a little pup, little dog that was just a nervous wreck. She was running around scared, trying to figure out what was going on. The fire alarm was going off. She said finally she walked into the living room, and her dog was finding peace on the couch. Take a look at this picture right here. She was sitting on the book that I wrote called How to Be Made Whole. That's pretty funny. I had no idea that my book would have such a profound effect on animals and people, and come on. So if you haven't got it yet, you can get it for your dog or your family member for Christmas or whatever out in the foyer today. We also have a hot chocolate bar as you leave today if you'd like to get some hot chocolate on your way out. I said that earlier about just taking time to be in the moment, because you just never know what tomorrow holds. A few weeks ago, was talking to, you know, about online. I was talking about the online audience, and I was saying there's a man, one of our members in our church, that flies an airplane, and he will watch us in the cockpit from time to time, and his name's Trey. And we all had a chuckle about that, and he sent me a picture that day of him in the cockpit watching our church service. And I got a call from his wife last week that he was in a motorcycle accident and lost his life. You just never know what's going to happen. And so we pray for Stephanie and the Simmons family, and they're struggling through this. We have another family, the Valdez family, going through their first Christmas without Abel. Many of you have had family members struggling. Maybe it's not a business, or maybe it's not a person that you've lost, but it's a business or finances or school situation, divorce. We've been in this community, San Marcos, for 17 years now. Promised Land has been a church in San Marcos for 17 years. And there has not been one week go by in 17 years that we have not had people with needs, prayer requests. Amelia was just talking to you about the envelope and the seat back in front of you. Every single week for 17 years, we've passed out, you know, connect cards or guest cards or whatever, prayer cards. People filled out prayer needs on those cards. And every week, week in, week out, our prayer teams take those cards and pray over them and believe that God's going to help people in their time. So I mean, from people that have cancer diagnosis or, family member in need, the ones that really speak to me the loudest when I'm going through those cards are the ones I can barely read. The font you can tell as a kid that's written on a card, and they've put it in there for us to pray. And it's something like, you know, pray for my dad, he's angry. Pray for my mom, you know, that she'll not drink as much, or something like that. You know, just heavy, just like, oh, these kids are going through things. And so it seems like our life is a sentence with one word missing. And if we could have that word put into our life sentence, then everything would be okay. And we go, many of us go through all these different, you know, education, jobs, relationships, trying to find that missing word. And it's a struggle for so many. I have a word for you today. I have a word for you today. I have good news for you today. I didn't come to just make you sad on Christmas week. I came to let you know that there is hope. I've come to let you know that there is peace. I've come to let you know that there is a reason to have faith again. There's a word. There's a word that is not just a mysterious thing or a myth, but it's a word that fits perfectly in 2020, a year that's been so difficult and heavy and dark. There's a word that fits perfectly in the dysfunctionality of your family. We're all about to get together with some folks, family. We all have that one family member. Come on, y'all know who I'm talking about. Y'all know who I'm talking about? If you don't know who I'm talking about, it's probably you. You're probably the one that everybody's praying for right now. This word that I have for you fits perfectly for whatever family dynamic you have, whatever plus or minus. Some people are really, really struggling in 2020 because of COVID-19 for valid reasons, difficulty, illness. You're struggling with your immune system. You're going through things that's very tough. You're going through financial things that are very tough. There's other people in 2020 that you've made choices that are tough. And so it's not something that's like come against you. It's just self-inflicted, things that you've done that have hurt you. I'm here to tell you today, the word I have for you is going to breathe life into you no matter why or how the darkness is around you. So there's a word, and it's not something that's written or spelled. It's not a mystery or a myth. In fact, this word has been around forever. I want to read to you John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, and it talks about the word that's been missing in your life. It says this in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. And that word there is so rich and so powerful. Look what it says. The beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. So it's starting to develop this picture of this powerful word. What is this word? It's not just something you say. It's not just something written. But this word, look what it says now. It says, he was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Through him, personifies this word, through him all things were made. So this word was a creative force. It was a power. This word has always been in existence. It was with God, was God, it was in the beginning. And everything that was made came from this word. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And then I want to skip down to verse 14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is a very powerful, powerful scripture that we could talk on for days and days. It's just so many rich things in this passage. We celebrate Christmas because Christmas is the time that this ambiguous, powerful, creative force that is just hard to explain. I mean, I'm trying today to describe to you the word. It's so hard to do because the word is power. The word is creative. The word is beautiful. The word is omnipotent. It's in all places. It's the word is just, you cannot grasp it. It's just all around. But we celebrate Christmas because it is the moment when this huge word becomes something tangible, becomes flesh. We can see the word, we can hear the word, we can talk to the word, we can touch. This creative force finally is in a manner that we can actually connect with. And so I just want everybody listening to me today, whether you've been around church, been around Christianity or not, doesn't matter. I have good news for you that this ambiguous God, it's hard to figure out, is being made known today. There's a passage in between the ones I just read. I read verses 1 through 3, and then I read verse 14. I want to encourage you to go back, you know, when you have time this week. Read that. Read the whole first chapter of John. It's a beautiful text. But in the middle there, in verse 4 and 5, it talks about people in 2020. And it's actually referencing the Old Testament, and it says, in him was life, and that light was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. It's referencing the Old Testament when God was with people. God's everywhere, right? But God was sort of elusive. You couldn't touch him. You couldn't get next to him. Like, the light was there. God was there. And especially was there for the priests who could go into the tabernacle, into the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant. They could be in connection with God. But the common person definitely could not be around God. And people that were far from him couldn't get connected to God. And so there's so many people now in 2020 that we know God exists, that there's a higher power out there, that we see kind of in flashes and pieces, different places around the world, but not with us, not close to us, not in a manner or a way that we can understand. And so many people are in that space and just can't grasp him. Well, if you're in that place, if you're listening to me today and you're in that place where you haven't really grasped God or been connected to him, I'm glad you're here today to hear that there is hope, that Jesus coming to this earth is not just, you know, like a fable or some sort of story that is mysterious and disconnected from us, but instead, it is alive and well. And it's just as tangible and present now as when he came that first Christmas. It's the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. The hope of the believer, the hope of the Christian, is not that we're going to memorize all the things that Jesus did. Like, we're not going to find our power because we finally, like, okay, we know what Jesus did. We know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John teaches us about the miracles and the signs and the teachings of Jesus. The power of the believer is not the knowledge about everything that Jesus did while he was on earth. It's not that we can quote all the feats that he performed. But the power of the believer is that he would be known to us now in the present in a tangible way. You see the difference? I think a lot of people just think, well, you know, if I can know about God, or if I can, you know, if I can achieve this religious habit, or if I can, you know, they feel bad about themselves because they can't ever get to church. They can't do the things they're supposed to do. And so they feel far, far, far from God. I have good news for you today. The power of Jesus, the power of Christ is not going to come to you because you perform a certain way. You're not going to receive strength from God or power from God or grace from God or love from God because you finally figured it out. The good news of Jesus is that you come to him the way you are, and he gives you the peace. He gives you the goodness. He gives you the love that you've been longing for in all these other places. So that he would be made known to us today, that the word, that's been missing in your life would be made flesh and dwell among you. And I'm thankful that I'm a part of a church at Promised Land, that this is not foreign. This is not some new concept. But Promised Land is a place where we're used to the presence of the Lord being made known to us. In our worship, we love gathering together. We love singing. We love declaring the goodness of God. We love eating together. We love praying together. We love hearing the word taught together. We love serving together. We love seeing the goodness of God displayed in front of our very eyes in tangible ways. And it's happened this week. I'm going to give you some examples. Pastor Emilio was up here talking earlier about these options that we have. So if you don't know God and you're far from Him, then you're over here. God's over there. And the very first thing is like, oh, God found me. God loves me. God came for me. And you come to know God and you receive Him. We say that word receive, like God comes into your life. We come to know Him. Well, there's an option there where you can receive the goodness of God and you can be like a reservoir which collects water. There's a stream that comes in, a river that comes in, and it's dammed up, and it's just receiving and getting bigger. And we could be that way, or we can be like a river and let that presence of the Lord come into our life and then flow out of us into the community around us. And when we are that way, when we allow the presence of the Lord to flow out of us, then we are actually taking on the nature of God, who is generous and is passing on His blessings to us. So that's just a beautiful thing, and that's what's been going on here at Promised Land. I want to show you this picture. This first picture is what we call Giving Hope. It's a local group of churches, and I apologize for the center screen not being on today. About once a year, a buzzard will fly out onto this telephone pole out here, and this week it happened. And we were in the office over there, and all of a sudden we heard an explosion, and we came out, and there's a poor buzzard on the ground out here. They step on the wrong, I don't know, something's up there, and they step on the wrong thing. Anyway, when that happens, electrical things happen in here, and it just so happened that this screen was the one that got it this time, so we'll fix it. But anyway, these side screens will do today. Hundreds of people were loved on this week. Gifts were given. The gospel was given. Bibles were given. Coats were given. We gave Promised Land, jumped in on this. We have people that serve on the board on this. We have people that serve handing out presents. We gave money to this, but this is a conglomeration of many churches in San Marcos that have been doing this for many, many years. The Yarboroughs lead it. They're a great, great team that do this. And so thank you for giving of yourself and giving hope to San Marcos. This is the Word being made flesh and walking down the sidewalk with a cart, all right, and giving things out to people. This next picture is it's a little collage of pictures. Last week, dozens and dozens of you brought presents, and after the final service last week, you could barely walk out the doors because there were so many presents in our foyer. And then families started coming to Promised Land. They started coming here. And on Thursday, I believe it was, we started handing out all these gifts to these families and praying over these families and blessing them. And then yesterday, some of our team went out and to the neighborhoods and delivered a lot of presents and took Santa with them. And Santa was praying for people. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful picture of Jesus being made known to people. The Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Instead of collecting the blessings of God and storing them up and being afraid that you may not have them again or losing them, but freely passing out those blessings and being generous. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Here's another group of pictures of our team going and handing out checks to local partners. Centro Esperanza, True Choice Pregnancy Center, and then Giving Hope. You guys gave over $35,000 last week to give out to the community, to give out to our international partners in India. Come on, give yourself a hand. That's an incredible, incredible feat. Thank you for doing that. That is the Word becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us. These people were longing and needing for assistance. They're doing the great work of God, and you let it flow out of you. Thank you for doing that. I wanted to show you a couple of these examples. And somebody asked me today, is it too late to give towards Giving Hope? It's not, or to Impact Sunday. If you weren't here last week and you want to give towards this, we still have some more checks to go out. So you can just put Impact Sunday on a gift, and it's going to go out to the community. But it's not just that. It's not just finances. It's when you cook a meal for someone, or it's when you invite them into your life. It's when you offer them a job, or it's when you text them or call them or reach out to them. Maybe it's one of these families that have lost a loved one. And, you know, everybody's there at the funeral. Everybody's there after the funeral. And then a day or two goes by. Everybody goes back home. And the family is still there by themselves. Maybe that's the time that the Word's going to be made flesh and dwell among them. When you go out and you make a connection with these people. It's what we do. It's because that's what God did for us. God could have stayed in heaven. He was in plush, perfect surroundings. He was on his throne where defeat was not an option. He was always going to be victorious. God was in his element, in his kingdom, and he made a choice to give up the right to completely and fully display that authority 100% of the time. When he became flesh, he became a baby. And I don't know if you've really thought about this much, but he was a toddler. He couldn't talk. He was stumbling around, and he was trying to learn how to crawl, trying to learn how to walk. The Savior of the world, the Messiah, the King of everything. He would minimize himself so much physically. I mean, to become a fetus, an infant, a human. But then even after he began to grow up, the Savior of the world as an 8-year-old, as a 10-year-old, think about other kids making fun of him, and he's thinking, do you know who you're talking to? I spoke a word and there was light, and now you're making fun of me? Come on. He had to resist the temptation to prove himself in the flesh and really rely on the Father's plan for his life. He chose to do that. He would resist sin at every level and every stage of his life. He was faced with opportunity after opportunity to make a mistake. I was with somebody this week, and I was talking about, you know, it's not a sin to be tempted. They're looking at me like, what are you talking about? No, it's not. To be tempted is not a sin. We're all tempted. The Bible says Jesus was tempted in every way, yet without sin. He was tempted. That means that in every way, financially, with power, sexually, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way, tempted, yet without sin. Being the King of the universe, being made fun of. In fact, after he got older in his adult age, and he began to teach and do miracles and really work as, you know, what we would call the Messiah or the Christ or whatever, you know, as this Jesus figure that we all know. After he did that, he was doing miracles in different places, and he went to his own hometown of Nazareth, went back home, and guess what happened? The Bible says he couldn't do any great work there. Why? Because they didn't respect him. They didn't honor him. They had no faith in him. He was rejected by the people that knew him the most. Oh, well, that's just Joseph's son. That's just Mary's son. That's the carpenter's kid. Like, why would we believe in him? Why? You know, and so because of that unbelief, no great work was done there. He had to deal with that. He had to process that and go through it. And so he walked this earth, and he continually was conflicted with his own plan versus the plan of the Father. And he would ultimately go to be arrested and go to trial. And he would face death and the suffering and the sacrifice of being physically wounded And, you know, it was just a really, really horrible scene when he goes to his death. He is laid out on a cross and physically nailed to that wood. And then he's hoisted up and hung in front of the whole community. And he's hanging there suffering. People are making fun of him again. They're mocking him. They're spitting on him. They're saying all kind of horrible things to him. And he's taking it. He's just receiving it. And he's not confronting them. He's not saying, how could you say this? He's not doing any of that. He's just receiving it. He's just taking it. And he's suffering on that cross. He endured all of it. His life finally dies there on the cross. Jesus is dead. They take him off of the cross, and they prepare his body with frankincense and myrrh, and then put him into a borrowed tomb. And he's there, dead in a tomb. And he doesn't stay there. He defeats death, and on the third day, rises from the dead. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Why does all of that happen? Why is he born? Why does he go through all that? Why does he suffer through all that? Why does all that happen? He does that so that on December 20th, 2020, when you need a word, the word is ready for you. He did that for you. He did that so when you're at the point of your greatest weakness and you don't know how one more thing could happen, how can I make it? You need a word. He did it for you. So that you could hold on to him. And not just hold on to him because you know that he did something before or he did something for someone else, but so that he could do something for you right now. He is present and he's ready and he's willing to move on your behalf right now. If you need a word in your life, I'm here to tell you that the word is ready to be made flesh and dwell in your life and make a difference in your heart at this place and in this moment. Let it be breathed over you, spoken over you, born in you this Christmas. No matter how dark your world is or how tough it looks, I'm here to tell you that there is hope in the baby that was born. Peace. And there's so much conflict going on. And then there's reason to have faith again. Faith is believing in something that you cannot see. Could it really happen? If Jesus is not born, then it's a crapshoot. But because Jesus was born, there's reason to have faith again for your life. I want to end with this scripture in Isaiah 40, verse 28. And the team's going to come. We're going to sing our final song and pray. I want the words of this Old Testament passage to just breathe life into you today. This is talking about the powerful, the prophetic word about Jesus coming into your life. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Verse 30 says, even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. How could we do that? The answer is in the word. We're going to trust in the word. We're going to believe in the word. Would you stand to your feet right now? I want us to go to God in prayer. We're going to talk to him. And then we're going to sing this beautiful carol together. But if you would just close your eyes and bow your heads, and I want you to think about the word right now. I want you to think about the void in your life and what you're needing and what you're longing for. And I want you to know today that there is hope, there is peace, there is faith. is coming into your life, is going to be born into your life this day. I'm going to pray. I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray, you know, in your own way, in your own words. You can pray out loud. You can pray silently if you would like. The scripture tells us that right now, the word is standing beside you, and the word is gently knocking on your heart. Revelation says that he's knocking on the door of your heart. He says, I'll come in. Would you let me come in? And he's eager to come into your heart right now. And all you have to do to let him in is just say yes to him right now. Yes, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Some of you prayed this before, and then you went on your way. It's time to come home. The word is being born, being present in your life, even this day. Let's just say yes to him right now. Would you join with me? Heavenly Father, we say yes to you. I say yes to you, God. I say yes to you. Be born in my life. Be born in my heart. Be present in my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's just pray a prayer of repentance right now. Would you join with me? Just say, Heavenly Father, please forgive me of my sin. I need help with my world. I need help with my life. I need help with my past, present, and future. Please forgive me. I need a Savior. And I'm trusting in you, Jesus, to be my Savior. I'm trusting in you to be my Lord this day. I'm longing for you. I'm looking to you, Jesus, to be with us this day, to be Emmanuel, God with us. We give you this moment in Jesus' name. Amen. Our team is going to come now and start lighting candles in the aisle.